America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That Merrick Garland is President Obama's pick to fill Justice Scalia's seat on the High Court. And the White House has sent out some comments ahead of the announcement at 11 this morning in the Rose Garden, saying that throughout his career, Chief Judge Garland has shown a rare ability to bring people together and has earned the respect of everyone he has worked with. Chief Justice John Roberts, Garland's colleague on the D.C. Circuit, once said that anytime Judge Garland disagrees, you know you're in a difficult area. And I thought this was interesting because it points to Senator Hatch, who spoke about Garland several years ago, calling him a consensus nominee for the Supreme Court, adding, "I have no doubts that Garland would get a lot of Senate votes, and I will do my best to help him get them." And of course, this is all in the context, Carol, of Senate Republicans, including Senator Hatch, saying that they're not going to hold a hearing for any President Obama nominee. And this goes straight to what we haven't been expecting, Carol, that whoever is chosen is a consensus pick, a moderate, and Merrick Garland certainly fits that bill. The statement goes on to say he has cultivated a reputation as a brilliant, meticulous judge with a knack for building consensus, playing it straight and deciding every case based on what the law requires. So some thoughts there from the White House in terms of why they chose Merrick Garland. And, of course, we'll hear more in just about half an hour from now.
Well, of course, we're going to be talking about this even more. Horace Cooper is going to be coming up here in just a little bit, and we'll break this down a little bit more. But this briefing comes from SCOTUSBrief.org. Says that we're in the middle of an extremely contentious political season. The nation is already deeply divided on so many issues. The best thing for the nation is to trust the American people to weigh in on who should make a lifetime appointment that could reshape the Supreme Court for generations. President Obama wants to take that decision away from the American people because he and his allies are committed to pushing the court in an extreme liberal direction. And Judge Garland is a key step in that plan. This according to Carrie Severino, Chief Counsel and Policy Director of the Judicial Crisis Network. The more that we read and understand about Merrick Garland's worldview, we can appreciate that he is not necessarily a centrist. I mean, would you really expect President Obama to give us anybody like a Judge Scalia?
Oh, absolutely not. And from what I've read here, this Merrick Garland is not the biggest friend of the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be huge. With that sort of talk and rhetoric going on right now, we'll see. But that could play out big time for Second Amendment rights.
Well, Brian Rogers, who's the executive director of the American Rising Squared, said that, Merrick at one time was considered, an Obama cabinet choice.
Yep.
He was on the short list. He clerked for the court's liberal icon, Justice William Brennan, who, you go back and you think about his understanding and the way he approached the Constitution. It was very elastic, consistent with the liberal judges, certainly, as far away from Justice Scalia as you can get. And at the D.C. court, Judge Garland's vote to rehear a landmark case striking down strict gun restrictions, to your point, Shane, in Washington, D.C., is deeply concerning to all who care about our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. As I said, Horace Cooper is coming up next, and we're going to be talking with him in more detail about this pick and all that Merrick Garland represents. If you were hoping that we were going to get a balanced court, I think, that was, pretty much a foregone conclusion that, President Obama could do a long, seal up his legacy, I guess, quite a long way with a Merrick Garland pick. But, like many of us, I don't think this is even going to be up for discussion at this point. This is Bill Martinez. Happy St. Paddy's Day. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's hardship program. Call 800-272-9128. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-272-9128. That number, 800-272-9128. Call now, 800-272-9128.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com is where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Horace Cooper, as I mentioned, is with us. Project 21 Black Leadership Network is making a statement on President Obama's U.S. Supreme Court vacancy announcement. Horace is an adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and co-chair of the Project 21 National Advisory Board, as well as a legal commentator. He says the White House believes it can hide behind the notion that the United States Senate should do its duty and act on his nominee, perhaps if the president had done his duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He might have a case. A good point. Horace Cooper, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the program. And you characterized correctly my concern. The president actually has created this very circumstance where there will not be the collaboration and negotiation that one might expect, precisely because the president has undermined and thwarted the principles and the specifics of the Constitution in so many instances.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only the president, but you could even say the Democratic Party. I mean, now Republicans are saying, hey, we're going to invoke the Biden rule, which in 1992 he was very articulate and clear about saying that the president, in essence, should not have a say when he becomes a short-term president in his, in his administration, in presenting, candidates for the Supreme Court, right?
Well, there's no doubt that the principle that has been in operation that's more than 100 years old is that a lame duck presidency isn't given the opportunity to name someone to the Supreme Court. We have had only one instance that I can identify in that period of time where in the actual 12-month period leading up to a presidential election has a Senate acted on a nomination. And that one instance is Justice Kennedy. But what people who identify that example failed to recognize is the vacancy was identified in 1986, 2 years before this period, and it was the action of the very Senate Democrats to stymie this process that resulted in the vacancy continuing to exist even as late as 1988. So you actually don't get to create the problem and then say, see, here's an example of why we don't need this principle.
Right, exactly. And, of course, that's when, the term being borked came about.
Absolutely.
Because they absolutely,
the president more broadly has acted as if all he's doing is he's exercising the authority given to him in the Constitution, and he's curious why the Senate isn't going to take action and act according to the authority given to them in the Constitution.
Exactly.
And this is the point that I would like to highlight. The president hasn't actually been acting under the authority of the Constitution. He has sought to undermine it at many instances, and in fact, he has the record, the dubious record, of being the modern president with the most number of unanimous Supreme Court decisions against him, ruling that he was wrong on issues involving religious freedom, that he was wrong on issues involving discrimination. He was wrong on issues involving recess appointments. He has been wrong some 20-plus times unanimously. Mm-hmm. And for him to now pretend that he can actually explain the constitutional powers and prerogatives of the Senate shows us, again, he is wrong. It is advise and consent, not hold a hearing and then bring up for a vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, why couldn't they go ahead and, you know, begin to vet him and just decide, you know, not to vote or vote against him?
Well, that's certainly a strategy, but the actual advise and consent power is a derivative of the notion of how the system operated in the old British Parliament, and when we adopted it, we made sure we wanted to see that there was a consulting relationship, and that is why George Washington, when he was president, actively consulted with the Senate over potential nominations before they were presented. This idea that the hearing process and the meetings with the senators is this critical role, the first time of that didn't happen until 1925. And then there was a 26 or 27 year gap before it started happening on a regular basis. There isn't this constitutional requirement that there be a hearing. There isn't this constitutional requirement that even these candidates be vetted. What is a constitutional requirement? That the Senate play an advise and consent role. When the vacancy appeared, the Senate Majority Leader announced that he was going to operate under the standards that had been in place for some time during Republican and Democrat control of the United States Senate, and that was that they would not take an opportunity to fill this vacancy until after the presidential election. The President of the United States says, I reject your ability to exercise your advise portion of advise and consent.
Well, and the thing that makes it so hypocritical, Horace, is that in his own words, he was on the other side and argued that the president should not offer a candidate when he is in his in the one year remaining, right?
That when Justice Alito was nominated and when Chief Justice Roberts was nominated, our president voted against both and offered to try to create a filibuster, but he couldn't get enough senators to join him, against Alito. The only reason for that was not because they were not qualified, not because they were not smart, not because they were not equipped and experienced. The reason was he didn't like their philosophy. Now, he set that as the standard, that the President of the United States actually doesn't get to simply name whoever he wants. And unless the person's unethical, and unless the person is inexperienced and incompetent, they're assumed to go forward. He now wants to tell the Senate, oh yes, but this is now the new standard.
Right.
And it is this shifting and manipulating of the rules and the process that are part of the reason why he has had so many losses before the United States Supreme Court.
And again, this comes from a president who says that he supposedly regrets the contention and the divide that he has created between the executive and the legislative branch. And this just furthers the contention. So he's going to take it all the way to the finish line. And part of his legacy will be his regret that he didn't get along and play nicely with the boys and girls in the legislature, right?
Your Honor, have leniency on me. I'm an orphan. And the judge responds, yeah, because you killed your parents. This president has set every bad record and created...
Yeah. We've got more from Horace. Stay with us, Horace, right after this.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
since I started taking the Nisena, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nisena because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nisena Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayItLook.com. ILikeTheWayItLook.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you, so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
It is all about your opinions, all about, you know, making sure you have the facts to make the right decision. I mean, if you're going to make a choice, let's make it based on the truth and the facts as best we know them. I think we most of us would agree to that. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Our conversation with Horace Cooper continues as we break down this Supreme Court nomination from President Obama of one Merrick Garland. Merrick, of course, is he is the Chief Justice of the D.C. Circuit. Isn't that correct, Horace?
Yeah, he's the Chief Judge of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. That gives him a responsibility for overseeing its administration. And his tenure there has created an opportunity, I guess, for us to see a track record of sorts. Now, I think what your listeners should understand is Judge Garland is most likely not the clever, moderate nominee that boxes the Senate, but is in fact more likely the only judge who was willing to put himself through this process, since it looks likely, increasingly likely, that nothing will come up of it. And since he sits on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, if nothing comes up of it, he just gets to continue going forward there. It is a lot harder to ask an academic, to ask a senator or some other prominent lawyer to go through this process with no real assurance that you are going to get consideration. So for those people who are looking at this and go, wow, look at that clever decision to submit a so-called moderate to the United States Supreme Court, this wasn't really clever. This was, well, we don't have really a lot of people who are willing to be considered for this process.
Yeah, nobody stepped forward. Everybody stepped back, and he forgot to step back, I guess, when when the question came up. Because after all, I mean, when you look at, like you say, his track record, he is no moderate by any means. You know, he has proposed basically gutting the Second Amendment, legalizing partial birth abortion, unleashing unaccountable bureaucratic agencies like the EPA and the IRS. Doesn't sound very moderate to me.
So the president would have us believe, and you're exactly right. Your characterization is exactly right. But the president would have us believe he's simply doing his duty. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to make a disclosure. Justice Scalia got me through law school. Right. One of the amazing things that Justice Scalia was able to do was illuminate what the actual principle was at stake and describe the case and the conflict at hand and tell you how you apply the principle. Lawyers often communicate in ways that make it very unclear. It's often mysterious and magical why this rule is that rule. Part of the reason for that has been the practice of the old Warren Court and even the Brennan Court, the Berger Court. Chief Justice Warren, Chief Justice Berger, practice of judges picking essentially political winners and losers. And it makes a principle to apply very, very difficult. When Justice Scalia got on board and he served with Chief Justice Rehnquist, the court moved toward a more transparent way of operating. And that is, we have a principle. And if the principle is you have religious freedom, the issue is not going to be, do we like this group or do we not like this group? Are we hostile to this concern or are we not? We applied the principle as neutrally as possible. What we see with Garland's record is actually not that. What we see instead is, if the government and an agency is pursuing some agenda, the answer is yes, it should be allowed to. If the IRS is going to seize your assets, the answer is yes. If the EPA is going to overregulate you, the answer is yes. And it actually doesn't matter what it appears. And I'm just looking at his record. It doesn't appear that it's consistent with particular principles of how agency deference by a court is supposed to operate. Even in the context of existing constitutional provisions, the Second Amendment you identified, I'll mention the Fourth Amendment. In criminal law cases, I have no problem with the theory that we shouldn't make it easy for criminals to be able to escape, but if there actually is a legal right not to be surveilled without a warrant, and we're not talking about national security issues, I believe that the Fourth Amendment means what the founders said that it means. The government can't randomly pick people and decide to surveil them without going before a court. Judge Garland apparently takes a different point of view. The D.C., and I'm going to say this really quickly, the D.C. government thinks some zany idea about how the Second Amendment operates, that instead of you having an individual right, like the court recognized in Heller, You have a collective right that spread out among the whole community, and at one point the community handed that right over to the law enforcement. I don't know when the community did that. I don't know how the community did that, but that's just Judge Garland's view.
Exactly.
Again, this is about perceived outcomes rather than applying principles. To replace Justice Scalia with someone like this would be a huge disservice to the esteemed career that he held on the court.
Well, Horace, you know, in looking back historically on the court and how it's become more and more political, this is not what the Founding Fathers wanted and desired, and it has become now, you've got the court potentially becoming another arm of the Democratic Party and progressivism.
Oh, absolutely, that is correct. What we are seeing is the kinds of solutions and outcomes that cannot be obtained at the ballot box by the leftists. They go to court and they seek to have it mandated on the rest of us. Our American principle was supposed to be consent of the governed. We decide what policies we want. Do we want higher taxes or lower taxes? Do we want greater government regulation of our environment or lesser regulation of our environment? We decide that. But the progressives, when they fail to achieve that on a basis of convincing people to adopt these and consenting to these, they want to impose them. First, with a president using unilateral power, or second, with a court doing so. That contravenes the principles that our founders intended. I want to make one quick point, and that is there have been at least seven people nominated and named to the Supreme Court that did not know or were unaware or had not consented to being considered, and when they found out, even after being confirmed by the Senate, they just simply sent a letter and said, okay, I resign.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And that was because it wasn't seen as this super, super prominent position that it has become today. Many Americans don't realize it. The fundraising associated with a Supreme Court nomination went from less than $1 million 35 or 40 years ago to more than what it cost to run in a major state United States Senate race like New York or in California. 50, 60, or $70 million, and we may be heading north of that over time.
Wait a minute. We're talking fundraising for a Supreme Court justice?
Well, it used to be so inconsequential when a judge was named, but when we saw the Bork nomination, the groups that were engaged, they spent over $1 million attacking him. When the next set of nominations came forward, that number doubled. We are now at the point where when Judge Roberts, Chief Justice, was nominated, over $15 million was raised and spent on both sides to influence this process. That easily outstrips the amount that it costs to run in most small state Senate campaigns.
Exactly. Wow. There's so much more to understand, and we will continue to unfold here on Bill Martinez Live. Horace Cooper, as always, great to have you with us and great to have your insight. Horace is the co-chair of the Project 21 National Advisory Board and a legal commentator. This is Bill Martinez. We're live 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
This report is brought to you by Kelley Blue Book. The editors of Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com, the only vehicle valuation and information source trusted by both consumers and the automotive industry, have named their list of the 16 best family cars of 2016, helping ease the struggle to find the best new cars tailored for families of all sizes. After extensive testing, with a keen focus on safety, comfort, convenience, and fit of various child safety car seats, Kelley Blue Book's experts recommend their choices of vehicles that best meet the needs of today's modern families. Jack R. Neared, Executive Editorial Director and Executive Market Analyst, KBB.com.
For 2 weeks' time, we did everything that you and your family might do with a vehicle day to day, with a certain sense of what a family needs and wants. Since many of our testers are simultaneously parents of kids ranging from mid-20s to newborn, we drew heavily upon both our family car experiences and our new car expertise to choose this year's best cars for families.
For more, visit KBB.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Lord, can you tell me?
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Joseph Castleberry is with us right now, president of Northwest University, author of The New Pilgrims, How Immigrants Are Renewing America's Faith and Values. Joseph, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, it's a pleasure, Bill. Doing really good.
Hey, wonderful. Looking back at Super Tuesday in the rearview mirror, we got Trump winning Florida, Illinois. Gingrich says the Republican Party won't be able to stop him now, and Kasich wins Ohio, and some say, so what? And, of course, we lost one Hispanic along the way, Rubio. Has suspended his, his run for the nomination.
Yeah, I'm afraid to endorse anybody anymore because I endorsed one guy and then he went out, and I endorsed another one, he's gone. I'm afraid to jinx the next guy. So it's been definitely an exciting election so far. It should be extremely exciting, but there's some flaws in the ointment that make it a real problem.
Well, part of the challenge, Joseph, with all this is that you've got media involvement, punditry, inside or outside, however way you want to consider it, trying to influence, the process here, and all in the name, and I'm talking about primarily the media, all in the name of supposedly reporting, but it has become so prejudicial that it's hard to understand, if you're not careful, you can find yourself rather confused as to, what exactly is going on, particularly with, what's going on in the Trump campaign and some of the rhetoric and the president saying, well, how dare he say this? And the president, of course, conveniently forgets that he himself, said some things that weren't rather kosher, that you would expect coming from the president of the United States. Has Donald Trump taken it to another level? Yeah, quite possibly. But also you have, more interference from outside groups than probably ever before.
Yeah, this is not politics as usual. This election is really different than anything I've seen for a long, long, long time, maybe ever. I started being a political junkie when I was 6 years old. It was 1966, and George Wallace was running his wife, Lurleen, for governor in Alabama. That followed by 1968 with the craziest presidential election we had ever had up to this date. And so I got hooked early, but man, this election is really different.
Yeah, well, it really is, although, you know, in certain cases, and you know, you mentioned 1968, I mean, part of it is like deja vu all over again with some of the stuff, although the manipulation and the involvement, the unrest, you know, people being so bold as to, you know, they know that they're against Trump, but yet they want to go in the middle of a hostile crowd and poke everybody in the eye, flip them off, and then wonder why, you know, they get a forearm shiver, you know?
Right. Well, nobody should be asking why in that case. You mentioned Obama's reaction that he's shocked to find out that there's politics going on in this election. You know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, this should be really an exciting election because of the candidates that are still on their feet. One of them is the farthest left that we have seen in my lifetime, which is Bernie Sanders.
Mm.
Man, he's a guy of integrity. He's likable. You know, if you're going to have a socialist in there, he's a great one to be there. Mm. He represents the position well. And then on the other side, you've got Ted Cruz, who is probably the farthest to the right that we've seen in my lifetime to be a credible contender. True conservative, true constitutionalist. Those two guys provide a real choice and a real contrast, and that's good. I mean, you like to see that in politics where there's a real choice to be made. On the other hand, the two people who are front runners are muddle the situation tremendously. It's hard to know what either one of them really believes. Hillary Clinton is running much further to the left than what we've expected from her, certainly way left of her husband and his way of governing and what she has said she believed as a senator, yet she's trying to out Sanders.
Exactly.
On many issues. And with Trump, how can you believe anything he says? Because he changes his mind on every issue constantly. So, I mean, we don't know what he really believes. And those two candidates that are the front runners are highly objectionable to on grounds of character to a huge piece of the electorate. So what should have been the most exciting election of our time is becoming one of the most disgusting.
Well, it is certainly probably one of the most passionate in the modern era. And we've got so much passion running so deep in this cycle that you have Donald Trump suggesting yesterday that if he doesn't get the election or get the nomination, even though he may be a little bit short of the 1237, that potentially there could be a riot. This is the thing that upsets people about Donald Trump. About the moment that they say, okay, I'm willing to, you know, begin to embrace him and consider him as a nominee, he comes up with these irresponsible statements, and you go, oh my gosh, just at the moment when I was almost ready to come over to his side of the fence, he lights up the constituency like this.
It's a very thinly veiled threat of violence if you don't elect him. You know, Trump is the most qualified person we have ever seen to be vice president because he has spent his whole life promoting vices, whether it's gambling, adultery, strip clubs, you know, everything you can think of, pretty much. Donald's been a part of it. He's the perfect vice president. But that, in my view, unless he can come up with some good reasons to explain himself, that pretty much disqualifies him to get my vote.
Yeah, well, he's not going to explain himself. I mean, what you see is what you get. That's the way it's always been for him. I mean, he comes from the business acumen, and that's his strength. He is not a political animal. And that's what gets him in trouble every time and, you know, counts against him in terms of trustworthiness. Because even when people, you know, lie to you, like we've had in the last couple of administrations, people are willing to accept a lie. And I think Hillary Clinton knows that. And that's why she does it so well.
Yeah. Well, on the positive side, he does have some withering political skills. I mean, amazing political skills. He may not be a career politician, but nobody can say that he's not an effective politician. He has a strange charisma that really does draw people. I mean, I've seen it. As much as I don't like many of the things he said, I understand why people think he's charismatic. He's out stripping just about everybody in terms of political skill right now. But, man, he doesn't seem to have any policy chops.
Right, exactly. Well, no doubt about it. And it seems like, you know, and this is my, has been my concern, is that the so-called establishment that has been so resistant in building any kind of bridge into his potential candidacy that they're going to find themselves scrambling, as they are right now, kind of at the last minute, to figure out, okay, how can we come alongside and support this guy? Because I don't know how you stop Donald Trump at this point. Do you?
Yeah, I can see lots of ways that might stop him. We're only halfway through the voting. You know, yesterday I was hearing Trump apologists on the media saying, hey, the people have spoken. The other people need to get out of the race, and we need to reunite behind the front runner. Well, no. I mean, the reality is everybody should have an opportunity to vote.
Exactly.
Good that everybody, that there's still options in the campaign. I live in Washington State. We're not going to vote until late May. I'd like to have an option. I don't want people in South Carolina or Texas or Florida deciding the whole election before I get stated. So, yeah, let's stay with it. Let's vote this thing out.
Yeah, I think that will be the case. It's just a, you know, and of course, as time goes on, just like this, you know, time will, you know, will make some decisions. And, you know, with each primary that we go through, you know, the individual candidates will have to make a decision for themselves. And this is, you know, why it galls me a little bit that some of the media will, you know, suggest, well, he should get out of there, you know. Like, you know, who are you to tell Kasich that his nomination ambitions are over?
Yeah, the election's far from over, and lots of things can still happen.
Exactly. Joseph Castleberry, president of Northwest University, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Joseph. It's 19 before the top of the hour right now.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This report is brought to you by Odor Eaters. It's time for America to stop and smell the sneakers.
Yeah!
Kids from all over the country came to raise a stink in New York City for the National Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest. Hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not, the competition tests the true limits of sneaker odor. This year's contest was comprised of 6 contestants, ages 7 to 13. Rachel Herz, veteran judge of smell.
You can really sense the amount of pride that these kids have in being stinky. I only wish my sense of smell didn't have to suffer for it.
All 6 competitors really showed us the funky, but only one sneaker could truly take the title of nation's smelliest. Winner Mason Young Hiss from Berthoud, Colorado, was this year's winner of the Golden Sneaker Award. $2,500, a 2-night stay in New York City, tickets to see Aladdin on Broadway, plenty of Odor Eaters products, and a place in the Odor Eaters Hall of Fumes. For more information, visit OdorEaters.com or the Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest Facebook page.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1G 2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I think we got it now, don't we? Is it Bill Martinez? And we're live. We're online, your smartphone. We're everywhere. Tune in radio. Over 270 markets across these United States. I was waiting for some top hat music. Do we got any top hat music going on here?
No top hat music.
No top hat music?
My voice tells me this is Bill Martinez live.
Okay, so... Okay. Well, it's just that, you know, sometimes, with Steve-O, he likes the fanfare and the entrance, so he doesn't know if he should come through the door or not unless he hears the top hat music, you know?
Well, I do like a big entrance, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you got to come in, you might as well let people know that you're coming through the door. I mean, hey, the president's announced everywhere he goes, you know, why not the one and only Steve, the movie guy Evans?
Huh? I'm all for that. But, you know, of course, today is St. Patty's Day, right?
St. Patty's Day, of course. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, and we got some good stuff. Zootopia continues to go ka-ching, ka-ching, huh?
Absolutely. This movie is really ringing the cash register. It's made about $431 million just in the first couple of weeks. That's worldwide. And wow. China is going crazy for this film. And Japan, which loves Disney, has yet to open. So that's going to be a big movie. They say it's going to make probably $900 million before all is said and done.
You know, I think if we could play that movie in North Korea, we might get an attitude adjustment there. What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe so, hopefully. Yeah. Anything would be an improvement. 10 Cloverfield Lane, number 2, making about what they thought it would, 24.7. Deadpool continues to roll. It's made $708 million worldwide, meaning these numbers are terrific. And that is an amazing number for an R-rated movie. We have London Has Fallen. That was number 4, doing about 10.8. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot rounded out the top 5 with 4.6. Unfortunately, The Brothers Grimsby with Sacha Baron Cohen, not doing quite what they had hoped, $3.2 million for that one. I happened to see a movie last week, which I would highly recommend. Hopefully, it's going to get a wide release. It's called City of Gold, and it's a documentary about this guy by the name of Jonathan Gold, who's a food critic for the L.A. Times. He's a real character, and it's a terrific film. It's one of the best movies I've seen about L.A. and this amazing multicultural city that we live in. So if you get a chance, see that one. All right.
Well, they only had it like in four screens last week. What happened? One happened to be right down the road from you, or what?
Well, yeah, there is one right down the road. And I live on the west side of L.A., so
well, of course, you get all
a lot of these theaters kind of cater to the industry crowd. So hopefully it'll get a wide release. It really is a terrific film.
Well, I love movies like that, especially that involve food and that's got to be a lot of fun. I'm gonna have to see if we can find it. I doubt anything here in Florida, and I'm not gonna be back in L.A. until a week from Friday, so I may have to wait until they add some more screens here. With four screens, it's kind of tough.
Right, and I think that, actually, in this day and age, because of things like Netflix and all the premium channels and things like that, you get a chance to see these movies. So it will surface in some form and see it when it does.
Well,
so we talk about the Divergent series, Allegiant, Part 1. This is the third movie in this series, which, by the way, has been broken into two parts. And a lot of people aren't really happy with that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are wondering if this whole thing is kind of running out of steam. Are you familiar with the Divergent series?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. But it hasn't, it's not necessarily my cup of tea, but that's okay.
Well, this, once again, is the third film in the series, broken into two parts. In this particular movie, Triss, played by Shailene Woodley, must escape with Four, played by Theo James, and go beyond the wall, enclosing Chicago. Now, for the first time ever, they will leave the only city and family they've ever known, and once outside, they discover shocking new truths. Triss and Four must quickly decide who they can trust as a ruthless battle ignites beyond the walls of Chicago, which, of course, threatens all of humanity again. In order to survive, Triss will be forced to make impossible choices about courage and allegiance and sacrifice and love. Here is what one critic had to say. Two lovebirds must once again save the world while looking very good in their carefully tailored casual wear.
Why not?
There you go. If you're into the books and the series and the movies and things like that, you'll show up. It should be number one, making about $37 million this weekend. Wow. But unfortunately, only 18% are recommending this one. And then a movie called Miracles from Heaven. And this is another faith-based movie, which is getting really good reviews. 65% are recommending this. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the book Three Miracles from Heaven. And this is about Christy, played by Jennifer Garner, discovers her 10-year-old daughter Anna has a rare, incurable disease. She becomes a ferocious advocate for her daughter's healing as she searches for a solution. Now, after Anna has a freak accident, an extraordinary miracle unfolds in the wake of her dramatic rescue that leaves medical specialists mystified, her family restored, and their community inspired, based on a true story. 65% recommend this one.
Yeah, I interviewed Christy Beam a couple weeks ago, and one of the producers of the movie. It is a terrific movie. Jennifer Garner is excellent in this, and a great storyline. You cannot help but empathize with Jennifer Garner as the mom in playing the role of Christy Beam. You know, as you say, she becomes an advocate. You could definitely relate to the frustration a parent would find themselves in, you know, trying to figure out what is going on with their daughter. Their daughter suddenly is ill, and you're trying to get down to the bottom of it, and the doctors are going, oh, well, it's just acid reflux or, you know, any one of other, you know, things, but she's not getting any better. It's getting worse. But the miracle itself is pretty incredible. It's one of those near-death experiences that she goes through, the young girl goes through. Really well done, and should do very well.
Well, everybody loves Jennifer Garner, and it's getting good reviews, 65% recommending, so there you go.
Yeah.
We have another movie called Midnight Special. I have been seeing the trailer for this for the longest time. It's getting terrific reviews, 87% recommending this one. And this stars Michael Shannon as a father who goes on the run to protect his young son, Alton, played by Jaden Lieberher. And he's the kid that was in St. Vincent with Bill Murray. His name is Alton, and this is a particular movie, and they uncover the truth behind the boy's special powers. And what starts out as a race from religious extremists and local law enforcement quickly escalates to a nationwide manhunt involving the highest levels of the federal government. Ultimately, his father risks everything to protect Alton and help fulfill a destiny that could change the world forever. Now, here's what the critics are saying about this. They're saying it has kind of a third, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Starman, E.T.-like magic to it. The trailer is terrific. Jaden Lieberher is great in this movie, and it may be one to check out this weekend. It's called Midnight Special. Check out the trailer. Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, yes.
Also out, we have a movie called The Program. I have been looking forward to this one. Now, this, of course, is about Lance Armstrong. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not. I'm surprised because I'm reading about it, and I'm going, how come I haven't heard about this?
Well, it's being released at the same time on DirecTV, so you have a chance to watch it there as well as in theaters. But this is the true story of Lance Armstrong with Ben Foster playing Lance in this particular movie. And, of course, we know the story. I mean, following his grueling battle with cancer, Lance returned to his cycling career in 1999, more determined than ever, with his sights set firmly on winning the Tour de France. And he visits this Italian physician, and they get together and develop the most sophisticated doping program in the history of the sport. That's why this is called The Program. Mm. And this allowed Lance and his American teammates to dominate the world of cycling, winning the Tour an unprecedented 7 times. Not everybody believed in the fairy tale. This is the story of Sunday Times journalist David Walsh, He was at first charmed by Lance, but soon began to question whether the world's greatest athlete was clean. So he sought to unveil the truth. This kept, you know, of course, he gets into this big battle with Armstrong. He risked his own career. He was ostracized from the cycling community for even bringing this up, and it cost his paper, the Sunday Times of London, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the legal costs because Lance kept suing the paper. But eventually, Walsh uncovered the truth when a select few prepared to talk and came forward and exposed one of the greatest deceptions of our time. I've always been fascinated with this story because I believed it for so long. Didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you wonder, you go, you know, you wanted to believe the story of Lance Armstrong, that here somebody was able to overcome, you know, cancer and rise to the level. But then, as you started to, you know, see the string being pulled and more becoming revealed, it became rather sad, especially when you consider, you know, the additional good things that he was doing with Live Strong and, you know, the charity efforts and all that sort of thing. So,
Crazy. And he never tested positive, as far as I know. And you could say, well, I guess he must be clean because they would know otherwise. And it was just such a sophisticated cover-up that he got away with it for years. And then it all came crashing down. An amazing story. It's out this weekend. It's called The Program. 61% are recommending that one. We should talk about Harrison Ford. Have you heard about this?
Harrison Ford, okay.
Disney has announced that Harrison Ford will be reprising his iconic role.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I read that last week. Exactly, yes.
This is going to be the fifth installment. Steven Spielberg is going to be returning to the director's chair, and this is supposed to hit theaters July 19th, 2019.
How is he going to do those running scenes, those ambitious athletic scenes with a walker? You know, how do you do that?
I don't know. You see, he's 73 right now, and so when they start to film this, it will be, I think he turns 74 in July, so he may be 74, even 75, when he jumps into this role. I don't know. What do you think it's going to do?
Well, Spielberg's got to keep him out of an airplane, you know, and
well,
just say, look, you know, what do you think?
George Lucas is not involved in this, so it will be up to Spielberg and Disney to make this happen, so we'll see. And, of course, we have a whole lot of Irish movies you can check out online because, of course, St. Paddy's Day is underway. Just look for great Irish movies, and you'll see a whole bunch of them.
That's happening. I'll tell you, you know, you see some of these old stars. I did have a chance to see Creed finally the other day. Sylvester Stallone did a great job in that movie, by the way.
That's
I agree with you.
I haven't seen it yet, but
absolutely awesome. Very, very enjoyable. Well, Steve-O, the movie guy, I'm Bill Martinez live. Steve-O, thank you for keeping us up to date. What's happening on the big screen? We'll see you at the Cineplex. Don't forget the popcorn, okay?
Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. You too.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.